All right, fight. My mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh. All right, fight fans, welcome to Caveman Corner here in Buffalo, New York, from the fan studio. Welcome to Caveman Corner, your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Jesus Christ, that was awful.
That was awful.
That was the worst opening I think you've had so far. Yes. And you're not very good at the opening.
Damn.
I thought you've improved. Apparently not.
That's all right. Ray only messes up the ones that suck that no one ever listens to.
I don't know. I hope someone listens to this one. Should be a good one.
We go get a million views on this one.
Yeah. Probably. Ray's got a beautiful suit on today.
Yes, sir.
Just got done making some drug deals. I got my normal sweats on. We got Karis in the studio today. She's got some plaid pink shirt on with some cleavage hanging out.
Yeah, man.
Forrest is sitting in her Jeff Captain Caveman t-shirt, old school style, looking good.
Yeah, wardrobe's a little different. I look like Wall Street, and you look like Walmart.
Yeah, you know. Well, I just made a post that I was going to eat the people of Walmart when the apocalypse happens, so it's kind of fitting.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of fat on those people. We got to cut it off first.
I like the fat part. And some steak sauce. Woo-wee!
He liked the jello from the gut. Damn.
Oops. Oh, man. We're off the rails on this show already, and we just got started. All right. Well, this is going to be our big review show of King of the Cage Ultimate Mix.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was waiting for one of you guys. Woohoo! Jesus Christ.
Too bad I wasn't there.
I know. Ray, however.
Where were you, Ray? Why did you abandon us?
Oh, I was at the Lace Up Show.
Oh, stop promoting another show.
Just kidding. Sorry, we just had a mirror on. We got to promote Lace Up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was working for Miadella.
Yeah.
And it was some good fights.
Brian Marciniak?
Marciniak was there.
Yeah, I can say his name right.
That's the guy with the velvet shirt, right?
Yes.
Oh, that, okay.
Like, he saw Bigfoot.
It reminded me of a white Suge Knight.
That's a good one.
So how were the lace-up fights before we get into the MMA fights?
They were good.
Yeah.
They were good. Team Western New York went undefeated. They won.
Someone got a defeat because we had Scott Skinner fight Rico.
Oh, yeah, in the exhibition match.
Yeah. Someone had an O. Who?
That doesn't count.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I wasn't even paying attention. I don't think nobody was.
Poor Rico. That's his big highlight moment. Yeah. He lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good. But, you know, he was, showing off some techniques in the ring. And, he looks good.
He's lucky Scott didn't get mad and knock him out.
Scott got him with a few nice shots.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that.
I know, K-Man. You would just... you go for the kill.
I know. He's lucky he didn't pick me to be an exhibition fight.
Everybody be like, K-Man.
Kick him in the nuts first. Start it off. Bong! Take
he's
that.
Short, though.
I know.
K-Man be like, this is how you feel when you fight for real. You're going to go through this. I got to toughen you up.
Who else fought?
I'm preparing you for the fight. Joe Taylor. And then we got this... this one kid that fought, he was the first guy that fought. I don't even know him. He's from our gym. What's his name?
We're just going to let you hang out here, Ray.
Come on. You know K-Man. You know who was fighting.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know, I haven't been in the gym in a long time. Isaiah, his name is, I think. His name is Isaiah, right?
I don't know. Oh. I don't even know who fought, dude. I was... You know, as horrible as it sounds, I was pretty focused on me that time. I wasn't really worried about the kickboxers, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, wasn't there a 10-year-old girl that fought on Lace Up this time, too?
Yes. Joe Taylor trained the girl, and she kicked. She won knockout, body shot.
Man. Yeah, she was training with Niz. She did some work with Niz in the ring. We talked about that in the other podcast.
Yeah, I heard she was, like, really whooping Niz's butt at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, a 10-year-old versus a, 30-some-year-old woman? And the 10-year-old is whooping the 30-year-old woman? That was pretty good.
That's tough, though. You got to go a little bit light, but that girl looks phenomenal with the kicks. Laura's got okay boxing, but she's got a way to go and kickball. It's a different sport.
Yeah.
Ray's breaking the studio with his pimp suit.
Don't be Mickey Gaskin.
Yeah. How about Joe Taylor? How did he look?
He looked good. It went to decision, but the guy he was fighting kind of sucked. I mean, I ain't going to say he sucked, but he was a little boring because he kept grabbing and hugging.
Yeah, I was not really involved in Joe Taylor's camp at all, but I know the game plan going in is the guy had nothing that set him apart from anyone else. He's just a grinder kind of guy, and Joe just had to put in a good workmanlike performance and come out with the win, and that's pretty much what he did.
Yeah.
Joe Taylor's for real. And he's signed with Glory again, as we just found out on our last podcast.
Yep.
Although I'm probably going to switch the order of the podcast so no one's going to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to Brian Moore and be like, what the hell are these guys talking about? Ah, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's get into the ultimate. Oh, also we had people fight at FCP.
I forgot about that.
Oh, Laura was fighting at FCP.
Yeah, Laura fought at FCP and she lost. I don't know how she lost. I think it was a decision. Do you know how the result of the fight?
I think it was just this decision, or maybe a stoppage because she got beat up pretty bad, though.
Yeah, she looked pretty rough. She was a little swollen up, but she ended up not being seriously injured, which is always a good thing.
And we got that tough wrestling kid that fought too, right?
Mikey Scholl.
Scholl, yeah.
Mikey Scholl ended up. He was supposed to fight Dwayne something, but the guy came in over 10 pounds overweight and he didn't want to cut weight. I'm not exactly sure what happened because I wasn't there, but he ended up not fighting this guy. They were supposed to fight for a title. The guy came in way overweight. He always smells like he's high on marijuana. I've actually called a couple of his fights. Dude, he's got a great stand up, but I mean, I'm commentating.
Wait, who the guy?
The Dwayne guy, not Mikey Scholl. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sitting ringside commentating. I can smell the weed on this guy. That's how powerful the odor of marijuana was on him.
He was smoking that OG Kush.
Yeah, OG something, man. Holy cow. I never smoked weed before, but whatever he's smoking, man. If I was going to start smoking, that's what I would smoke. God damn. Yeah. Strong.
I mean, how could the state allow somebody to fight like that, smelling like marijuana?
I don't know, because you get checked before, right. But if he's smoking up in a locker room, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but state people, ain't it? And checking the locker room?
I guess. I don't know, man.
New York State's so fucked up.
Depends, because New Way, there's like three different promotions, and the amateurs are totally different than the pros.
Oh, okay.
The way it's separated.
Tell Kim about it.
Yeah, I would tell Kim about it. Yeah, that guy, he's from Detroit or something, too. Oh, okay. So he's a pretty tough dude, man. His stand-up's off the hook. It was going to be a tough fight for Mikey. I was excited for it. I spent a lot of time working with him. Man, Mikey Scholl's turned into a killer. But he ended up fighting K1, and he won the K1 title. Yeah, a great showing.
Cool.
You see the pictures, dude. He beat that dude up. I forgot who he fought. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I won't remember because I don't have it called up. I'm looking at the King Cage stuff. But, yeah, he had a great performance. He won the K1 title.
Cool.
He ended up fighting, too. He put in a lot of hard work, so it's good to see him get rewarded.
That's what's up.
When guys miss weight, dude, it's the worst.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go right over to the KOTC card since I didn't see most of the card and Ray wasn't there. We brought in Forrest and my wife.
I was never at the fight when we review these stuff. Man.
No, every review we do, you've never seen it. This is on free TV. Ray's like, I was busy.
I was playing my PS4.
Yeah, I was playing Rampage on my Nintendo. Anyways.
Oh, I was playing Ninja Turtle arcade game.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a little Raspberry Pi thingy, and they got like 1,000 games in there. You can play the old arcade games. All right, I'll change the subject. I'm sorry.
Cool. You should come on a video game show. We got to do another one.
I could bring it right here. We could play right here.
Hell yeah. Dude, that'd be awesome. We could play while we're talking to boring guests.
Yeah.
All right. The King of the Cage Ultimate Mix card. The first fight was Mika Young versus Nathan Vasquez.
I'm going to go. Oh, Nathan won. Yes. Because he's Mexican and he's Nathan. That's my son's name.
Yeah. That's good. Did you see it? You came in for the third fight, right?
No. Yeah. We missed the first couple fights because the weather was really bad. Getting in was a little difficult.
Well, this fight was really quick. Nathan was in my locker room. He trains with Crew Mark, so he trains over at Kinetics. I don't really know the guy. I never sparred with him, but he is a beast. He's a giant guy.
Heavyweight?
205 or heavyweight. I can't tell. He's a giant. He's a big man. He came in, dude. He dominated the fight. 144, first round, rear naked choke.
Yeah, you can't lose. You can't lose to nobody named Mika.
No,
that's a dude named Mika.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I'm sorry, Mika, that Ray's making fun of you. You guys could fight though. Ray is also in that weight class. It'd be a good matchup.
Oh yeah.
Ray will not choke you. He's gonna leg kick you to death in between eating Whoppers. Oh, did you see someone hit Burger King the other day? They crashed into Burger King over in Delaware.
Oh, I was thinking about you.
Now I can get my bacon, bacon king sandwich.
Jesus Christ! You shouldn't eat that shit, anyways. Oh my God, you're gonna die.
Where my vanilla milkshake?
I think we're all gonna die at some point.
Yeah. Anyways, it's crazy because Mark's trying to wrap us all in the back. He's wrapping hands, and he left, and Jeremy Stopa, he started wrapping Stopa's hands, but he had to go out with Vasquez. So Jeremy's just sitting there with one hand wrapped and the other hand started. And Eric Herbert ended up finishing wrapping Stopa. The next fight was Brian Battle versus Ed Spooniebarger.
What a weird last name.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm killing your name, man.
Brian Battles, that's a tough man last name right there.
Yeah, that's a good MMA name.
Battles.
Battles went out there, choked a guy out in 52 seconds of the second round. Another quick fight. We're in the back, man, and these fights are popping quick. We're not wrapped. We're not anything because they started the fights, and we barely had time to get anything wrapped. Next fight came up really quick. It was Dominic Martin versus Jeremy Stopa.
Oh, my God. Jeremy's a beast, ain't he?
Jeremy is a beast, a real beast, man.
He looks really intimidating when he walks in the cage.
Yeah.
And I'm not even in the cage. I'm just like looking at from the audience. I'm like, yeah, don't mess with that guy.
You can almost tell from the weigh-ins who's going to win and who's not going to win. When you see Jeremy Stopa at the weigh-ins, oh my God, dude, he's a giant dude. Makes me wish I wasn't fighting 55 that night. I looked at him and I'm like, man, what the hell am I doing fighting 155? Look at that guy. He's a fucking killer.
He's 155 too?
He's 155.
He's big.
He's jacked. He fights for Canucks as well. He did a short stint with us over at Western New York MMA for a while. He went to Thailand to train Muay Thai. And showed up in the fight because he came out. He's like, I Muay Thai'd him. So apparently he kicked him a few times. Cool. I don't know. Did you see the fight, Karis?
Yeah, I saw some of it. I was sitting in the audience pretty nervous going into this fight because you were fighting. So I couldn't say I was the best audience, but I remember Stopa pretty much dominated the fight.
And top of that, he's a war veteran too.
Yeah. And he's a officer, I believe. I don't know if he's corrections or if he's an actual officer, but he's definitely law enforcement. Oh. Yeah. Another one we have to avoid if we have him on the show.
Oh. He's a nice guy. Don't protect me, please.
Next was Bennett Bowman against Art Ludwig. Art had some fascinating hair. He's kind of going for the Conor McGregor tie-off style. I didn't really see any of this fight either. How did it play out?
Oh, wow.
Was this the guy that kind of looked like your old boss? One of the guys looked like your old boss, Kip?
I'm not sure. It was either that fight or the next fight. No, it had to be that fight. Yeah, Bennett Bowman has to be the old gentleman.
Yep. So this fight came out, and the entire crowd was kind of like laughing about it because this gentleman walked in the cage and he just did not look like he belonged. And he looked like he's about 45, 50.
What weight class is this?
I don't know.
155, I believe.
Yeah.
55 or
so
70.
So he was kind of like a Gerhardt.
No, it was 70.
Right. So the thing is, I heard in the audience, I heard the story that this guy was probably picked up at a bar somewhere. No, seriously, I thought it was a joke, but apparently this is a true story. This guy was sitting at a bar. Somebody started talking to him about fighting. He's like, yeah. And then they just kind of brought him in to fight. Never fought before. Didn't have a corner. Just showed up.
Well, he had to have his medicals done, so he had to know he was fighting at least.
Well, he knew he was fighting, but he just kind of... I believe the story is that he was at a bar and heard the fight and sort of just agreed to fight. Not sure if he really had actual training camp or any type of previous training of fighting.
Well, for anyone listening to this, this Bennett Bowman guy, he's white hair, white beard. I actually saw him when we were taking pictures, so I stopped and I talked with him. I'm like, thank God I'm finally not the oldest fucking guy in this card. And I asked him how old he was, and he's like 38. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, because John Gerhardt told me, he was like, when I first met him, he told me he was like 29. I'm like, how the fuck am I older than you?
Yeah, dude, these guys that live hard look rough.
Wait, how old you say Gerhardt is?
Gerhardt said that he was like 29 or something like
He's
that.
He's lying.
Well, that Gerhardt was when you met him. 29. How long ago was that? Like 5 years, 6 years ago?
I was like, I think, December to December.
Yeah, so like 4 years ago. 5 years ago?
Yeah, but if he was 29, I was, at that time, I was 33. I'm 36
now. Yeah. Oh.
So how the hell? 3 years
ago. Well, I can't believe that because, I mean, some crackhead looks better than him.
Well, I think you said the opportune word, and I think that crack really makes you look old quick.
But he does not. He can't only be like 32, 33, dude. He's old.
I don't know.
A lot of people like just to say they're 29 every year. You ask them.
Maybe they're right. They said white cracks. Black don't crack. White cracks. I don't know.
The next match was... Actually, I saw that guy at the bar, too. This Ben guy at the bar after the fight. And, dude, he was sitting alone, drinking a beer. I felt so bad for him. I came over. I was like, man, nice job. Keep it up. His lip was cut a little bit. And, dude, I just felt bad for the guy. I mean, I've lost before. I know how it feels. But
did you buy him a beer?
I didn't buy him a beer. I didn't feel that bad. You already had a beer. Why would I buy him a beer?
Buy him the cheapest beer ever. Could you?
I don't believe in drinking anyways.
Oh, okay. Good job.
You shouldn't be drinking after your fight.
Good job.
Right.
You shouldn't be drinking before you fight either.
Maybe you should if you're that guy.
Maybe he's drinking away the pain.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a Art 1 with a KO, 36 seconds. A KO.
Yes.
Oh, first round.
It wasn't a TKO?
No, it was a KO. He went down.
Wow.
Didn't look good at all. Sorry. Whoever that guy is.
He got a little $500 and spent it on the bar now.
He didn't get money. That was an amateur.
Oh, shit. Poor guy.
Probably didn't sell any tickets either. Looking at the guy.
Yeah, because he's from Detroit or something. Yeah. He probably just figured he got a free trip out to Buffalo and got a hotel room, you know?
Oh, my God. By the way, Keenan Cage, the hotel rooms was awesome. It was the nicest hotel I was ever in for a fight by tenfold.
Do they treat the amateurs good with the hotel
rooms? It doesn't take much for you to think that since you stay at some really crummy hotels.
Any bed bugs?
No bed bugs. It's truth. King size bed, TV.
Any jacuzzi?
No jacuzzi. Oh, heat. Man. I had to heat up to 80. Oh, my God, dude. It was like the best room ever.
That kind of good. Indians go kick you out, okay? And they go put a sign up. Leave the thermostat alone.
Oh, man. It was so nice in my room. I finally could be warm because I was so cold. And also, the casino needs to have some goddamn like convenience stores around. All the gas, there's like 20 gas stations. They're all reservation gas stations. There's like no junk food at any of them. So you have to like drive all the way down the street to get some Rockstar, like far away, like almost to the poker house. It's crazy. And they don't have poker in the casino, man. It was not so fun.
Jesus Christ, what kind of casino?
I know, there's a separate poker room like right down the road. I didn't even get to play poker.
So the nicest hotel you stayed at, then you're going to complain about nothing that really matters.
The room was
right.
Great.
Which is where you should spend most of your time, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
I'm just trying to help out the Indians. I mean, they have to do business.
No, it was great. The KLTC took care of us. They could have sent us some room service for free, though. That would have been nice.
Oh, that would be really nice.
Yeah. They didn't feed us, though.
No.
Next fight, Pete Sanantonio versus Anthony Romero.
That looks like some fighters are ready to turn pro.
Yeah, this was a professional fight. So it was 3 5-minute rounds. Anthony Romero won via unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-26, 30-26 after 3 rounds.
It was a dominating fight.
Anthony was the one in the red corner, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. He came back in the locker room because he was the last fight out before I went out. And, man, he was very disappointed. He came back in disappointed after a win like that.
Well, they were both good fighters.
Yeah, how did the fight play out? Did it look good or what?
It looked really good, especially after, you know, following a fight that was really not much of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd was really gotten into the fight at this point. And a lot of people commented. I think the crowd was a little confused, too, if that was a professional fight or amateur fight. So the crowd was really into it, thinking these are amateur fighters, and they just put on a great show. So
it was a good battle. They battled it out.
Yeah,
Forrest probably was paying a little more attention than I was at this point because I knew you and Keith were coming up next, so I was a little...
Romero looked really good in the locker room. He had some great kicks, great footwork. He was moving around, hitting the pads really good. Sometimes it's not a great indicator, but, man, he looked good in the locker room. I was really impressed by him. Next fight, Tyler Collins versus Keith Ferrant. What do you think about this fight? I know you watched this one.
Yes. So Keith put on a dominating performance. Stand up on the ground. Keith was able to hold the guy down for the most part. I was a little surprised Keith didn't submit him quick and the fight went to decisions, because Keith is really good on the ground. There was quite a few opportunities I feel like he could have submitted the guy, but then what do I know? But Tyler was just, I think Tyler, he took the fight at short notice.
8 days, I believe.
Right.
8 days, 6 days, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty short. So you can tell there was some cardio issues going to the second round. And I mean, kudos to him. He's got the heart. He didn't quit, even though he was, you can tell he was really tired. There's just not much he could do. His corner, he had one guy cornered. The guy was so passionate, just yelling for Tyler to do something, giving him good commands. But Tyler just, I think because of cardio, he just couldn't really execute some of those instructions from his corner. And Keith was just dominating and good everywhere. Looks good with the kicks and everything. But as always, Keith comes out a little slower. But towards the end of his first round, second round, third round, you can really see Keith, the fighter, coming out of him was really good.
Keith looked really good for this fight. He was jacked. He looked so cut up. I don't think I've seen Keith look better. I know he put in one of the hardest camps of his life for his pro debut, and he's been wanting to make the debut a long time. He also injured his knee sometime in the middle of the second round.
Yes.
His knee popped out of, I don't know what, he actually doesn't even know what the injury is yet. Had MRI on it and stuff. So for a round and a half, he's fighting pretty much on one leg. And it was pretty good battle. The rounds were 30-27, 30-26, 30-26.
Oh, yeah, the point was taken away because Tyler had I believe it was an up kick, and I think the ref believed that Tyler's toe went into Keith's eye.
Yeah, they were in
that was the point that was taken.
They were in a 50-50 position, and they're both grounded opponents, and Taylor kicked Keith. And it mostly hit his chest, Keith said, but it hit his face as well. Oh, okay. And you're not allowed to kick a downed opponent. And since they're in a 50-50 on the ground, they're both considered downed opponents. Yeah. So you're not allowed to kick. But like I told Keith, I was like, if I was on the ground with you in 50-50, I'd fucking kick you in the face too, because I don't want to be down there. One thing I noticed about this fight is Taylor was able to get underneath Keith quite a few times to go for leg locks.
Right.
And I really thought Keith would be able to finish him there.
Yeah, I think that's when I thought Keith would have submitted the guy. I think there was, I believe the second round, there was one point it was pretty close.
So you think the knee injury slowed Keith down a little bit?
I'm not sure.
Even in the first round, though, Taylor was able to get underneath Keith. I don't know if Keith just had gone in with a different type of game plan. But yeah, it was a little surprising because knowing Keith is really good on the ground.
I was warming up for the first two rounds of the fight. I only really saw some of the third round, a little bit of the second round. How did he look on the feet?
He looked pretty good. He was really strong on the feet as well, getting him down.
Yeah. Good takedowns?
Yes.
Yes.
He overpowered Mr. Collins.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
Going back to the ground, though, I thought there were a couple missed opportunities for Crew Keith. I think he might have been able to put him away, but he definitely controlled. He was definitely pretty controlling on the ground. There were a couple times where the other guy sneaked under him a little bit, but besides that, Crew Keith looked very dominant on the ground.
Might be a little rusty, right? He hasn't fought in a while.
He hasn't fought in a little while. What do you think, as a fighter yourself, what do you think about going for the win and maintaining a dominant position and knowing that you're going to win, as opposed to trying to finish the guy? It kind of sounds like, I didn't see the fight, but it kind of sounds like maybe that's what happened a little bit at times.
Well, I guess he was hurt, right? Like you say, he had a bad knee, so maybe he, wanted to play it safe, didn't want to take no chance.
Right, and, Keith is a solid kicker, too. If your post leg's not very stable, it's going to be tough to kick people.
Right. So, Keith got some hard-ass kicks. I remember he kicked Mickey, and I was like, God damn, that shit's loud.
He stopped Mickey with a body shot, remember?
Yeah. I was like, damn.
That was good. And he actually has a win by leg kick, too.
Oh, yeah?
A TKO win by leg kick. He cracked. Oh, what the fuck was that kid's name?
Yeah, it was at that Victory Gym in Rochester.
Yeah, he chopped the guy's leg down, and the leg just collapsed, and he won. He won by leg kick, dude. That's a freaking cool-ass win. I wish I had one.
I wish I had one like that, too.
Yeah, you may get one like that, Ray, because your goddamn leg kicks. Next fight, Vince Ciattoli versus Jeffrey Dens.
Not much to say. It was only 4 seconds.
Wow, four said it all.
Yeah. He called your father an old man, too.
He did call me old. He said, hashtag, no country for old man a couple of times. He put a couple of pictures of me up.
That one picture he put up was funny, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
How the hell they get a picture of your face like that?
I don't know. They tore right off my Facebook. I'm friends with them on Facebook, so that's how they got it.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing, though. I think, you know, when you trash toss sometimes, you got to kind of be careful. I feel like this should be a lesson to people who like to trash talk online. No one would have known you're that old if Vince did not start doing all those hashtag, you know, no county for old man, Huckleberry, whatever he was doing. You know, it's... You don't know. You never know when you go in. Doesn't age really isn't the limit here in MMA fighting. It's the training. It's what you put into it. And you can just tell when you guys walked out that you definitely put in a little more to this than Vince did.
He missed weight, too. He was 1 pound overweight. So I got some of his purse, baby. Woo!
Yeah, peace on Vince.
Yeah. And not only that, I want to send out a super special thank you to Patchy Mix, who got me a little bit of extra cash. He helped me negotiate in the back room deal there. It got me a little bit,
He made him an offer that couldn't refuse.
Yeah, Pat's like, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't give K-Man more money.
I'm going to chuck your ass out.
Yeah
sure. and another thing with Vince, too, is that, you know, he, you know, I mean, with this fight, is you made history, K-Man.
Four seconds,
the fastest TKO in MMA history.
Yeah, the fastest body shot TKO in MMA history.
And then, like I said before on Facebook, if you make fun of the K-Man, you won't survive the first round.
That's the truth.
To emphasize that point, I mean, our last podcast in the studio here, I don't know if it's going to be the episode before this, but you should definitely be careful trash-talking somebody who went 5 rounds with a guy who's in glory now, who's 4-1.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, 5 rounds with Vinastra. No one else has done that either.
Yeah, Vince ain't going to go 5 rounds with him.
No.
No.
I think he might beat your record, K-Man. 1 second.
We'll have to see. I would like to see that fight.
But also, I know before the fight, you were saying Vince is bigger than you and everything. And he really isn't.
He's 22 pounds bigger than me at fight night.
Yeah, but he doesn't look bigger than you in terms of muscle and strength. And that's the thing. I know, like, he missed weight and the doctors say he couldn't lose another pound before he's going to, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's another great story I got to tell you.
But here's my problem. I just looking at his body, he definitely can cut more weight if he would just have done it right. I think we have had this discussion before about fighters not making weight. That's your job. You need to make weight. And Vince is not that tall. Vince is in the frame that he can make 155. And it's poor sportsmanship coming in not made weight. I know it's just 1 pound, but that's still you didn't do your job as a fighter. So I'm sorry. That's one thing that I have to put it out there, that if you want to keep fighting this in MMA, do your job.
Right. That's true. I agree 100%.
We had a little thing, and so the doctor was standing there, Vince's corner, the commissioner lady, and then me. So they're like, the doctor doesn't think Vince can cut any more weight because I wanted him to cut that last pound. I'm like, well, they said to me, well, it's very disadvantageous for him to cut this weight. It's going to put him in a bad place. I'm like, yeah, but it's advantageous for me to have him cut the weight. I want him to cut the weight.
Wait a minute, but it's his job to cut the weight. So
right.
So it's not your problem. He got to cut that weight.
Yeah, the doctor said that in his medical opinion. Yeah, in his medical opinion, it would not be good for him to cut another pound. It would be unhealthy. So
did Vince blow the doctor?
No. So it was either...
Wow. It took me a few seconds, but I just realized what you said.
So there was no, it was either no fight or I took the fight with him being overweight.
But if there's no medical issue with him cutting the weight and it's only disadvantageous, and well, cutting weight is really unhealthy anyways, but it's something that you have to do if you're going to fight. And if it's, if there's no, if it's like, he's not, if he won't like die or be seriously ill if he cuts 1 pound.
People have died from cutting weight though. I think they're just trying to take, but I don't know.
1 pound?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, to the doctor's point, I'm sure for KOTC, they have to be err on the side of caution. Because something happens, you know, it's a big deal for the organization putting on the show.
And then maybe they get scared with the stories out there, people dying.
Yeah. Right. That lady just died too, the Muay Thai fighter lady that just died cutting weight. Just happened too, right when the fight was going on.
What I'm saying is Vince is not in, and he's fought 155, right?
His last two fights were 160 though.
Right, but he's not in a size where it's unreasonable for him to make 155. I mean, he definitely still has soft spots on his body that he can lose the weight if he wants to. He wanted to. You know, obviously there's are reasons, there are factors that goes in when you can't lose that weight. But again, it's your job. You agree to fight. You're a professional fighter. This is not amateur fighting. You are getting paid to do a job. You have to. Everybody else has a regular job. When you're required to show up and be ready to do something and you are not ready, you will get reprimanded.
You should be the commissioner.
Yeah, she should.
I mean, I'm very passionate about this weight cutting thing. I don't think you should cut excessive amount of weight and get yourself sick. But if you agree to fight at a certain way and you are capable of losing that weight, you need to do your job, especially when you start getting paid as a pro fighter. Amateur fighter, I don't know, sometimes it just happens, right? And you can't really hold them responsible because you're not paying them.
Right.
But when you're a pro fighter and getting paid, yes, you need to make that way.
I think it was a great mental advantage for me too, because I knew he didn't want to cut that weight. And I have my whole camp telling you, look, he's soft. He's going to quit the first chance he gets to quit because he didn't want to cut that weight. I mean, anyone can cut 1 pound at that point, except for Ray. Ray would probably sweat and lose 8 pounds.
And the fact that he was sitting there right after the fight, eating a big meal at the same restaurants we were at, knowing what they served there, I can't imagine he was hurting that much. If you were that sick, you probably wouldn't be sitting there with a big crowd eating a big dinner.
K-Man should have been like, thank you for the food.
Yeah, I was evil-eyeing him the whole time, man. I came out, and I was really wanting this one bad. Even the whole time at the weigh-ins, I'm pacing around just staring at him while he's supposed to be cutting weight.
When I was watching the video,
uh-huh.
And then when you kicked him and he went down, I seen your eyes, K-Man. They look evil as hell, and you ran at him for the kill. And then remember, we talked about this before. You told me you got that instinct where you just bite your mouthpiece and just go at it.
Uh-huh.
I seen it in you. I was scared.
Yeah.
No, it's also interesting. We did have that interesting conversation with the ref that ref your fight at the, you know, we ran to them at dinner. So we were talking before we realized that was your ref, that we were wondering if Vince was just, was he really damaged to a point he couldn't fight after that kick, or it was just kind of an excuse for him to quit at that point. And after talking to the ref who was there in the cage and was managing the situation, he basically said, yeah, his liver shut down. He couldn't move.
Oh, yeah. I got kneed in the liver one time. And I went down. I'm like, I couldn't do nothing.
Yeah, Herbert hit me a spinning back kick in the liver, dude. And I lay there. And he's like pounding my head. He's like, move. I'm like, I can't. He's just beating me up, dude.
Oh, damn.
I'm like, I couldn't move. I was just shut down. Yeah. It was perfect shot. Yeah, anyways, I mean mugged him the whole day. And like when I flexed, I could see on stage when I flexed and all those veins popped out. He's like, what the fuck? Where's the 40-year-old guy I was supposed to fight that's
I seen the loser, picture. You know? I seen that picture. I think you sent me the picture.
Yeah.
Or when you was flexing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, shit. K-Man's a fucking animal.
Yeah, and he looked a little soft at the weigh-ins too, so like it was really like I could just look in his eyes, I could see like, man, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah,
you know?
K-Man busts his ass training, and K-Man's coming to fight.
Yeah, the mental aspect of fight is a huge deal.
Yep.
So just for Vince's or anybody, young fighters, benefits out there, the reason Jeff showed up the way he showed up is because I'm his wife. I'm in the same household with him. He gets up at 4:30 in the morning, hits the gym at 5, goes to work, 8 to 9 hour day, goes in, teaches a KISS class for 2 hours, and then trains till around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then he's either back to the gym trying to lift weight or do cardio, or he's doing some type of running around the house. So it didn't just come to him. He didn't just say, I agree to fight this fight. This is not just something he's like, I'm passionate about, I'm just going to go fight this fight. He actually trained really hard for this, and this is how he gets to have those muscles, the veins pop out, and look the way he looked, and win the fight he won. And these young fighters a lot of times walks around and they think they're the greatest thing that God has given to this earth or something, and they just don't want to work hard anymore. And they think, oh, that guy, he's old. Oh, that guy, he's weak. Oh, that guy, he's whatever. But you never know when you step in that cage. Records also do not tell the whole story. You have to look at who the guy fought, who the guy won against and lost against. Yeah. You know, this is the part I'm passionate about the sport. I just want people to realize, you jump into the sport, you're asking to do a job. You want this job, then you got to do your part to make it happen. Jeff does this, and he makes it happen. It's a lot of sacrifices on our family for him to do this. And for people to not take it seriously, that's just BS.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with all the sugar-free rock star I drink either.
He actually quit drinking sugar-free rock star during the camp, so.
Milkshake.
It could be the milkshake.
I need milkshake.
Yeah.
Not that fight's over.
Yeah. Next fight, Rob Best versus Todd Liberati.
Uh-oh.
Todd Liberati won unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27 after 3 5-minute rounds.
Got his revenge.
Yeah, they fought before, and Rob Best won a decision against Todd before.
It was split, right?
Yeah, decision. I believe it was split.
I thought Todd looked probably the best I've seen him since the fight we went to see him die in Pennsylvania.
When he fought that the black kid?
I don't remember.
No, he fought some Canadian. He fought some big dude.
Yeah, he lost to Nash. That's not the fight I'm talking about, Xavier Nash. He went down and he beat the shit out of some poor guy.
But he really looks great in this fight. I think, you know, kudos to him. I know he's been doing a lot of work in his personal life, and I hope he continues that path and just come back out.
Yeah, him and Pat Mix, he was having a really hard time cutting weight, and Pat Mix spent some time with him and got him down on weight. I know it was a personally challenging fight for Todd. He got injured during the camp.
Yeah.
Didn't get much training the last couple of weeks. He suffered a head injury in training. He spars really hard, so, I mean, injuries are going to follow him a little bit. He doesn't like to think he spars really hard, but he definitely loads up his hands, and he's definitely going 100% all the time.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, sometimes that's what you need to do to be able to fight. Rob Best looked like a gigantic man. I was a little worried for this fight. I didn't get to see much of it. I was in the back for the first round. I was working with Pat a little bit. Pat wanted a left-hander look. So I was going southpaw, throwing some left hands at him. Then I came out and I had to say thank you to all the people that bought tickets. So I really only saw the third round of this fight. I saw Todd on top, beating him up, dropping bows. It looked like Todd handled him pretty well, at least in the third round. How did the first two rounds go?
I thought they looked pretty much the same all the way through. Todd was very dominating at this fight. Like I said, it's been a while that I've seen Todd perform this well. The first time I met Todd, I was pretty intimidated by him because he's muscular, he's got tattoos all over, and he's freaking loud.
Yeah.
He's the drill sergeant. But then, you know, and then I
he's
know
he's
got
such good abs. Oh.
I know he's had some hard times with the fighting and stuff and, you know, other things in life. So, you know, kudos to him that he won this fight. Very dominating, looks good. Just hope that, you know, he can continue this right path.
Yeah, he had a struggle with personal medication that he was given when he was a young child. He grew up on it. He was addicted to it. He went and tried to kick the habit. He was able to get off him. And he came back and he fought this fight. Not only that, his medicals were up, so when he went in, After the weigh-ins, dude, he had to go to the hospital and get a CAT scan for his head because his medicals were no good.
Oh, shit.
So, man, you never know what's going on. So there's got to be a lot of shit going on in his mind. Like, oh, my God, they're not going to let me fight.
Yeah.
And he was able to put that all out of his mind and go in and fight.
I'm happy for him. And I just hope he stay focused and get away from the negative people and just stay clean and, get another win, Todd.
Yeah, it was good. He really needed this win bad, so he got his first professional win, and he earned it, man. He went in there, and he beat up Rob Best.
Yeah.
It's a good fight. Maybe I can fight Rob Best next.
Is the review shows has turned into, like, call-out shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how I get fights.
I feel like every time I'm here for the review shows, it's like calling out somebody, you guys.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Either you call somebody for yourself, or you call somebody for Ray.
Oh, I got a great story, too. The guys I work with, they're like, oh, yeah, that guy he beat is soft. You know, did I tell the story on air about the restaurant yet?
The restaurant?
Yeah, when the guy at the restaurant. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
For sure?
About, yeah, seeing Vince.
And the restaurant, you was eyeing him all day.
No. So we went to the restaurant after the fight. He's eating with his lady, and this fat guy comes up to me, and he's like, I'm just going to say again just in case I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I know we talked about it. I don't remember if it was on air or not.
Oh, the blubber man.
Yeah, the blubber guy. And he's like, you kicked that dude's ass, but he's soft. And I was like, you know, he's sitting right there. He's literally as far away from me as Ray is right now, like maybe 3 feet. And he's like, yeah, fuck him. He lost. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. I felt so bad for Vince. I've lost before. I know how it feels. And, dude, I want to boot that dude in the ribs. So yeah, be careful what you say to the guys.
Yeah, because you got these fans out there that send their asses, don't train, play video games all day. I'm talking about me. they don't know what it is to, you know, you do a leg kick and you get checked and you hurt your shins. They don't know when they get hit in the liver, how you get paralyzed and go down, you can't move. They never experienced that. If they did, they'd be...
It's a lot easier to win fights by mashing some PS4 buttons.
Right.
Unless you're playing Mickey Gaskins on Tekken and he's drooling all over your shit and it shorts out.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyways, this story about Todd. The guys from work were so impressed with Todd. They're like, God damn, look at that tattoo on his head. He was a giant guy. I'm like, you know the guy I beat that you're calling soft beat Todd. And like, no way. They couldn't believe it. And I know that that's something that bugs Todd. But I need somebody that Todd lost to.
I think we got a clear minded Todd here.
Yeah, and, dude, he's different.
So I would definitely put my money on Todd to beat Vince.
Yeah, me too. We had Todd on a podcast, and he actually talked about the fight. So go back and listen to it, and you can hear his experience training for that fight, and then come back and see what you think.
Maybe there can be a Todd versus Vince.
Rematch. I think that
revenge Morgan, number two.
I think Morgan Cavanaugh is going to be slated to fight Vince next.
Okay, Morgan, do not disappoint us.
Yeah, Morgan, if you lose, I'm going to make fun of you.
If Morgan loses, I'm going to tell everyone how he got the nickname Mitts on air.
You should just tell it anyways.
I will not do that.
Wait. Can you tell me at least?
I've told you off the air. I'm not telling you on air. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Maybe in the Easter egg, if everyone listens to it.
Yeah. And like and subscribe to Caveman.
Yeah, like and subscribe to this podcast for sure if you're listening on YouTube. If you're on iTunes, make sure you subscribe. Any other media that you listen to, subscribe. Like this page if you're listening and you came through the page. Like the page. Put a little heart next to it. That means I get more people watching it. YouTube's trying to get your money. Unless you get lots of likes and shares, and not everyone on your list sees it. Next fight, and this was a huge fight. Xavier Nash versus Sean Felton.
Head kick.
Yeah. How do you think this fight was going before the head kick? Obviously, Felton won with a knockout, 356 of round number one.
There were definitely moments, I have to say, I was like, oh my gosh. Seeing the head kick at the end was just great. I know Forrest has a lot to say about that because it is his favorite fighter.
Well, as I was just introduced, yes, Mr. Superfly is one of my favorite fighters. And like my mom said, there, I don't know if she said it. Really bad short-term memory. Anyways, I was a little uneasy in the beginning of the fight. There was Mr. Nash, Mr. Superfly were kind of even. At some points, one or the other would be on top by just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, a well-timed head kick hits one of the guys in the head. And the one who was kicking was Mr. Superfly. It just happened to be, and he won the fight. It was over quick.
Superfly's a monster.
I actually saw this fight. This is one of the first fights that I saw. And I honestly thought that up until the point where Superfly landed a teep kick, he landed a perfect teep kick on the guy's sternum. Mm-hmm. I thought Superfly was actually losing some of the exchanges. He was circling out. Was that you?
No.
Wow, that was weird.
That was not me either.
Oh, that's really weird. Anyways, he was circling out. And I'll delete that part.
Okay.
What the hell?
What the hell is that? I swear to God, it's not me. My phone's not hooked up. Wait, is it? Wait, are you on the internet?
Just on this page. All right, anyways, up until that point, I thought Superfly was getting short on the exchanges because he was circling away a little bit more. Superfly always starts out a little bit cautious. And, I mean, Superfly was landing as well, but I thought he was starting to lose the first round. He landed a teep kick, a perfect teep kick, right to the solar plexus. And you could just see the wind come out of Xavier Nash. Xavier Nash is a nasty motherfucker, dude. He is no joke. This was a huge fight for Felton. And as soon as he landed that, Felton smelled blood, dude, and he turned it up. And that head kick, it's all over YouTube. If you're not a fan of Sean Felton, go like his page right now. It's all over it. Man, it's one of the gnarliest head kicks you're going to see in a long time. Definitely better than my liver shot.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Maybe not. White privilege, right?
No, I think you're just... I know you're always like humble like that in terms of talking up your teammates. No, that kick Superfly had, the head kick, was amazing. Not taking any credit away from Superfly. He's always been an amazing fighter. I know you say he starts off more cautious, but you never see that fighting. You never know. It takes one kick, one punch sometimes. It can change the whole fight.
Or two kicks.
Yeah, Xavier tried to take him down and Felton stuffed the takedown. That was a huge turning point as well. He was on a cage a little bit. Felton got off and he landed that teep. And I do think that the head kick was a little bit more impressive just because of the level of competition. I mean, Xavier is a badass motherfucker, dude. He ain't not a joke.
And you know what? And you know, you know, for this win for Superfly, you know, it goes to what we talk about. He's the most improved fighter in the gym.
You know what else, man? It was a night of fours. So that makes Superfly 4-0, right?
Yep.
On the night, our team was 4-0. I'm 40 years old. I won my fight in 4 seconds.
Wait a minute. It's the Illuminati.
It is the Illuminati, dude. This could be a conspiracy show podcast being launched as we speak.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute.
What the hell is that noise?
At 8:04, I passed gas and lace up.
Ray was with us in spirits.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's that thing right there.
Yeah.
What is that thing?
I don't know. This is...
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and it's not us.
Somebody's messaging you?
Yeah, this is the other podcast, 716 Podcast. They're messaging right in the middle of our show.
Oh,
they're doing that on purpose, them bastards.
Yo, we're doing a podcast right now. I'm going to tell you. Yo. How you spell yo? Yo.
Do they want a kick in the belly?
Are doing a podcast now. I can't spell so good. CAST. Podcast now. Please stop messaging. How you spell messaging?
M-E-S-S-A. G-I-N-G.
G-I-N. Stop messaging during our show. Our show.
Caveman Corner.
At least close your windows. Ha!
You tell them.
I did.
Oh, good.
I'm going to close this window so it stops being up.
What the hell that noise?
I know. I can look at all their email, too. They're lucky. I just close it without going through all their personal stuff.
Oh, they lucky. We probably saw someone like kitty porn.
I know. Jesus Christ. That's what's usually on your computer over here. Not kiddie porn, but, you know, naked girls and stuff. I'm glad you're being respectful while my wife is here. Yeah, that's from you, Ray.
I feel like I gotta go now. Yeah. Stop talking about this stuff.
Okay. We got all right. Let's concentrate here.
Man, Caveman Corner is off the rails today.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know all the other shit.
From Ray's awful opening until the messenger, man.
I blame Ray.
Yeah, it's all Ray's fault. And he was a half hour late for the first podcast. Yep. Jesus Christ.
It's Illuminati.
Yeah. The Knight of Force. Anyways, the last fight. Patchy Mix versus
Afro Monkey.
Andre Ewell. Yeah, his nickname was Afro Monkey.
Afro Monkey? That's racist.
I know. He's a black guy, though, so I think it's okay. Is that racist?
What, Afro Monkey? If he wants to call himself Afro Monkey, who are we to judge?
Right. I think he does that just so he can pick fights with white people.
They'd be like, dude, look at the Afro Monkey. Yeah. You racist bastards, come here.
I know. Like, how can you even trash talk that? That's a good idea.
There you go.
I don't think I could pull off Afro Monkey.
No. No, you don't have enough
hair. Ray
definitely
can't, his bald ass.
Damn.
Anyways, this fight was just like any other Patchy Mix fight. Dude, he is the most phenomenal athlete I've ever worked with in MMA. I've fought some tough guys. I've fought in WEC, UFC, Bellator. None of them stack up to Pat Mix, man. He is something special. And he showed it again, and he won the goddamn flyweight title of King of the Cage. Can you break down the fight a little bit?
Regular Pat Mix styles on the feet, got the guy down, got to the guy's back. Rear naked choked the guy.
Yeah.
That's the fight.
Finished. Pat was looking for a finish. He didn't finish the last two fights. It's the first time he went back to back without finishing an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to finish bad, dude.
Oh, yeah. He looked really good.
Yeah, he went down to Albuquerque. He was training with Jackson Winklejohn. Mm-hmm. Dude, when he came back, he was working to finish on a choke. He got me in like a jaw crush, dude. And my jaw is still sore today. This is like 8 weeks later. I can still feel my jaw clicking. That's how bad he wants this finish, dude. He was chasing it hard.
I'm
just so happy he got it.
Yeah, I remember I said something about like, if you're going to fight Pat Mix, why are you giving up your back to him?
You don't have a choice.
Right. And that was your answer. You don't have a choice. And it's like, Pat just gets to that position. And then he doesn't stop, and he just keeps attacking. And he's just an amazing young fighter. And, you know, earlier I was giving my rant about young fighters not being responsible. And, you know, that's definitely not Pat and Superfly, because I know these two guys really train hard. And you can see it in their results.
Me and Pat put a lot of time in together for this camp. This is the first time I got to work with a really, really high-level guy. And, man, he has this guy, Art, that came in, Art Vogelmore, and he did a lot of work with the two of us, strength and conditioning. We bled, sweat, and cried together. Well, I cried. He didn't really cry because he was always beating me up. But had some blood, sweat, and my tears involved in the training, man. It was a great camp. And even though I'm older than him, I look really up to him. And he's a great leader, a great teammate. And the sky's the limit for this kid, man. He's going to be in UFC someday. And anyone that gets a chance to see him fight in Buffalo, fucking go watch him fight. Buy a ticket from him. Even if I'm fighting, buy a ticket from that guy, man. He is top of the line. Unless you're my friend, then buy a ticket from me.
Yeah, Pat's pretty amazing.
He is. I can't say enough good stuff about him. We had some serious sparring rounds during this camp too, right, Karis?
Oh, yeah. I stopped by one night. I haven't been around as much for Jeff's training camp this time. Just because I've been so busy, and Forrest is a lot older now. So the dynamics of Jeff's training camp and our relationship kind of really changed this time. But I was able to stop by one Friday night after I dropped Forrest off as the school dance, and Jeff and Pat were going at it. I was like, oh shit, this looks like a real fight. Like, this can be a real fight in the cage, and it looked really good. It was exciting to watch you guys fight in the cage that night. It was a treat for me to, you know, like I said, I didn't stop very often, and for me to have just happened to show up and watch you guys train like that, spar like that, it was amazing. It was so good to see.
Yeah, Pat beat me up really bad that time. Karis, like, you're better than that. Why are you letting him beat you up?
Yeah.
I'm not letting him, man.
We got to be honest here. Pat, you know, Pat makes his the best fighter in the gym.
He is, for sure. Dude, he split my eye, and I was like, do you know where we can get Band-Aids from, Karis? And she's like, oh, whatever. Then we got in a fight because I was all confused. I went to the wrong place. She said, you're going here. I'm like, I am there. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
did he get your back?
He didn't get my back. We were doing stand-up. So, dude, he's a beast, man.
Yeah, he is.
Well, see, that's another thing I want to talk about is for people who's fighting Pat and think that, he just gets on your back, he's just brown guy. Don't think that. Pat is a beast on the feet also. He's really good.
You should see the rounds him and Alex do in a cage. You pay to watch them. They're so good. They're so smooth and so fast.
Yeah, Pat's just really well-rounded at this point as a fighter. And he's dangerous in a lot of places. And that's why I think what Jeff said is like you don't have a choice but give up your back to him.
He does like Funyuns, though. He has a Funyun habit. You better look out.
Oh, shit.
Never make it 25 eating Funyuns.
Just give all the Funyuns to Forrest when the fight camp starts. Forrest will help you, Pat.
Yeah.
So, UFC soon?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. But I know there's some tryouts coming up for Ultimate Fighter. I don't know who's trying out or who's not trying out. But we have a couple guys that could possibly go do it.
Okay.
You need to be undefeated and have over 4 fights to get on the show. So, obviously, that only has 2 of our guys. Solomon doesn't have enough fights yet.
Yeah, so it'll be Sean and Superfly. Yeah. Sean, Superfly, and Pat.
So, yes. I know Sol didn't fight for this review period, but he's an amazing fighter, too.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to put that out there. We didn't talk about him because he didn't fight, but that's another kid that's going to go places.
Yeah, the Black Dragon, baby.
I spent a lot of time. Actually, Saul helped me with this camp a little bit. After Pat beat me up sparring, he worked with me a little bit. Make sure I get my jab out there and I'm moving a little bit more. And just mentally, you know, like it's so good to be around these hungry fucking lions, man. Yeah. You can't be around them and not be inspired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I have a faster knockout than you, Saul.
Well, I don't know. Saul looked really good in his fight the last time, too.
He did.
Yeah, so it's good. So
you got to stop hitting him in the head, Saul. Go to the body.
Liver.
Liver.
Boss Wooten.
I'm just kidding because Saul beat me up.
Yeah, he kicked our ass at the same time. Yeah. We could do a freaking handicap match and we'd lose.
Him and Joe Taylor put in some good work, too, man. You watch them guys spar. It's good to see. Saul's looking really big right now, too, man. Dude, he is jacked. You can tell he's not on weight, but he's jacked. Yeah. Gigantic, man. And not like fat, like big.
Musk.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Not like Ray. When Ray gets big, Ray gets big and round. But
Burger King big.
Yeah, Burger King big.
Whopper big.
Saul's like weightlifting, giant, fucking killer, Mike Tyson looking athlete big. Was that racist?
No.
No.
Okay.
I think
Mike Tyson.
I think that's huge for the gym, having all these guys around. You know, you still see some people. I really just hope some of these other people who aspire to fight gets really inspired by you guys. Like Pat, Superfly, Solomon, you, Eric Herbert, you know, that really look up to you guys and the way you guys train, because it doesn't just happen. It really doesn't just happen.
You got to work hard for it. And like the name she just mentioned are the hardest working guys in WNY.
For sure.
Absolutely. And then the boxers.
Yeah, the boxers are work hard.
I always have to give them shout out because they're really good.
Yeah.
Alex, Shauna, Ali, Griffin.
Yep.
Dante's not looking like he works out a lot, but he's...
Dante's got school.
Yeah. He's big right now, dude. He looks fat. Sorry, Dante. He's got Tommy Pepsi belly going on.
Oh, he can't go to Chippewa then.
Yeah.
Yeah, until he lose all that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he can go to Chippewa. He's just, he's not going to be as popular as he would be. But, dude, he's a good-looking guy. Still, he's suave. He was looking good not too long ago, man. He came back, he lost weight, and he put it all right back on again.
I know. He the one who posted up that Burger King car ran into Burger King. He was in Burger King when it happened.
Yeah, that might be the problem. Before we get out of here and close, I just want to say thank you to everyone that helped me train for this fight. I appreciate it, and I'm glad that I could set a record, a world goddamn record, of fastest body kick knockout. It kind of seems surreal to me, but I'm glad I could do it in front of my son and the students that I teach at Western New York MMA. You know, obviously it makes me look good for the gym, but I'd like to be able to set a good example and be honest and be able to say I didn't smoke any weed before the fight. I didn't do any steroids before the fight. I didn't get out drunk. I wasn't going out trying to bang all the girls. I want my kids to be inspired and know that they can stay away from the bad stuff and still come out and accomplish any one of their goals in life. And that's all I got. Let's get out of here, Ray.
Okay.
Ray, don't screw this up.
He already screwed it up.
Yeah. Well, I can't get any worse.
It's redemption time. How about you redeem yourself?
Ray,
now you put pressure on me. Now I'm going to mess up.
Yeah, sure. And it'd probably work better if you weren't texting all the time and watching movies on your phone while you're supposed to be doing
entrance. What movie are you watching?
Exits.
Porn, technical porn.
Technical porn. Not technical.
No, technical position porn.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Nah, I'm just playing. I'm not doing nothing. I was just on Facebook. Come on. Let's get out of here.
All right, let's get out of here.
Some of the contents on Facebook is worse than that.
No pressure. Why is your pants yellow?
All right, fight fans. We are out of here from the Fantasy Studios. Good night.
That was impressive.
I can't believe you didn't fuck it up.
I was almost dead.
He's like, good night.
Good night.
Good night. You know, that was like the making it, covering it up. That's the cover up. Good night.
Good night.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wait a minute. Is it still on?
It's still on.
Shit.
Wait, people are waiting for the Mitt story.
It's not on, right? Because you guys have your headphones on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So why did they call what's his name? Morgan Mitts.
Well, you see, this one time I was training with Morgan, and then...